It's verse 5 of this portion of scripture that we've read that I want to turn your thoughts to and take up the theme out of this verse of kicking against the pricks. Verse 5 says, "And he said," that's Saul of Tarsus, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And it's those last few words that I want us to think upon. Kicking against the pricks. These are the striking words of the Lord Jesus to Paul on the road to Damascus. This man's career of persecuting the Church of Jesus Christ was about to come to a very sudden end, because the Lord was going to intervene into his life. It tells us here that there was a light that shined round about him from heaven. There were others who were with Saul of Tarsus that day, but it says of them there at the end of, towards the end of our reading, that they heard a voice, but they saw no man. So there was a voice that spoke from heaven, spoke directly to Saul of Tarsus and brought him down to the earth. He fell to the earth, it tells us there in verse 4. And he heard this voice from heaven that said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul naturally wanted to know who it was that was speaking to him. And he calls out, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the reply came back, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." I'm sure Saul of Tarsus was surprised when he heard who it was that was speaking to him. Here is the one that Saul had set himself against. He testifies later on, when he stood before some of those Roman governors, that it was his desire to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Well, here's the very individual that Saul had set himself against, now speaking to him directly from heaven. And there's no man around, no man to be seen, but there is a voice that is heard. It is the voice of God that is speaking to this man. And that voice says to him, "It's hard to kick against the pricks." And I want us to ponder that theme for a moment. And I want you to consider some things in regards to what it is to kick against the pricks. I want you first of all here to consider the strivings of the Spirit of God with Saul. Because that's what is represented here in the statement. When the Lord says it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, the Lord is referring to the fact that the Spirit of God has been striving with Saul of Tarsus. This is not the first time that Jesus Christ has confronted Saul of Tarsus. This is not the first time that the claims of the gospel have been brought home to Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus has heard before, and he has thought upon these things before, and he has been spoken to before in the quietness of his own heart. Because that is what is represented in this statement, kicking against the pricks. The Spirit of God, as we know, strives with sinners. Strives with sinners. Confronting them. And challenging them. And convicting them. And ultimately converting them. That is how the Spirit of God works. Now what we have here is a proverbial expression that is taken from the realm of tending to animals. This was how a stubborn animal was moved. Take, for example, when the ploughman was ploughing and he was out in the field with his ox, either one or yoked together, and he's behind the plough and he's wanting the oxen to move and to pull the plough through the ground and across the field. How is he going to get that animal to move? He can't leave the plough because he has to control the plough and handle the plough, and that was quite a job of work in and of itself. What he would have was a long ox goad, which was really a long stick with a pointed end, and he would be able not only to hold the plough but also have in his hand this long stick, and he would be able to prod the animal. He would be able to give that animal, the more mature one, the senior one, the one that would be leading, if there were two yoked together. Oftentimes they would put an older animal, more experienced, maybe with a younger one. And he would prod that older animal that would take the lead and move off and pull the plough through the field. So that's the picture that is being employed here. One that was very well known to Saul of Tarsus and anyone from Bible times in an agricultural community as the land of Israel was. So the Lord is taking this picture that is given to us here, and he's using it to illustrate what was happening to Saul of Tarsus spiritually. The Lord was speaking to Saul. It's interesting that on two other occasions, this same word that is translated here, pricks, in verse 5, Acts 9 verse 5, pricks, it is translated twice in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 55 and verse 56 as the word sting. Those verses read, O death, where is thy sting? And then it says, the next verse, the sting of death is sin. So those two references there in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 and 56, and the word sting is exactly the same word here. So even if we bring that into this realm of what's happening to Saul of Tarsus, we can understand something of what is happening here. The Lord is speaking to Saul of Tarsus and dealing with Saul of Tarsus, and there is a sting in the word of God. There is a prick. Saul of Tarsus feels the prick, feels the sting of the word of God. We know the word of God has a stinging, piercing nature. Hebrews 4 and 12 tells us that. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. The word pierces. And that's what is being said here with regards to Saul of Tarsus. Was it possible that the Lord had spoken to him that day when Saul stood as they stoned Stephen? We know that Saul looked after the garments of those who stoned Stephen to death. Was that an occasion when the Lord was speaking to Saul and pricking his heart and the claims of the gospel were coming home to him? I wonder today, is the Lord doing the same to you? Maybe you're listening to this broadcast, and if truth were told, the Lord is speaking to you and you feel the sting of the word of God. You feel the challenge of it. It calls you to faith and repentance. It calls you to obedience, to follow Christ, to serve him. And you feel the word of God entering into your soul and piercing your soul. Is the Lord speaking? Is the Spirit striving with you today? As he did with Saul of Tarsus. So there's the strivings of the Spirit here. I want you also to consider the struggles of Saul. The struggles of Saul against the Spirit. Because it says here he's kicking against the pricks. So Saul didn't like what was happening. He didn't like those claims of the gospel and the claims of Jesus Christ being pressed upon him. He didn't like it at all. And he kicked back against it. Just like the old ox would do. The old ox mightn't be too happy in being prodded with that long ox goad. The farmer wants it to move off and engage in the work that he wants done in the field. But the ox is not wanting to move. Maybe it's a lazy ox. It's not all for moving at all. But it has to be prodded. And in order to move at all, it's going to have to be persuaded to move. Maybe it even kicks back against the ox goad, striking out against it because it doesn't like the prod of the ox goad. Well, that's what Saul was doing. He didn't like the claims of Christ being pressed upon him. He was a self-righteous man. He thought he was good enough as he was, that he didn't need Christ as his Savior. We know that because he tells us that over in Philippians, that he thought that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Oh, he thought that he had a righteousness all of his own and that he didn't need a Savior. But the claims of Christ as the Savior were being pressed upon him, and he didn't like it, and he was kicking against it. And maybe that's exactly how it is with you. You're listening to the Word of God either on this occasion or maybe on some other occasion, and you're kicking against the pricks. You don't like what you hear. Well, then Saul is an illustration to you as we're considering it here at this particular moment. The Lord said to Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That word hard is always found in the scriptures with an unfavorable meaning. It indicates one who is uncivil in their conduct. intractable in their actions, rough and harsh in their treatment of others, does not describe Saul of Tarsus at that moment down to a T. You can make a connection between this word hard, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks in verse 5, with what it tells us in chapter 9 verse 1, Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Because those two things go together. Here is a man, and the Lord says it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And that word has that unfavorable meaning to it, of a man who is cruel and rough and harsh in his dealings with others. And here's an example of it in verse 1. He's breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the followers of Jesus Christ. The two verses tie up very well. You see, that is what fueled Saul's rage. That's what made him the prime persecutor that he was of the Church of Christ. It was fueled by this rage. He's fighting against God. He's fighting against the pricks. He's kicking against the piercing pricks of the Word of God and the claims of Jesus Christ. And maybe it can be seen in your conduct that you're kicking against God. Is there a harshness that has even come into your speech or your conduct because you're kicking against God? You're in disobedience. You know what you ought to do. You hear what God is calling upon you to do, and yet you will not do it. You will not obey. You're just like Saul of Tarsus, kicking against the pricks. But I want you also here to notice the senselessness of Saul's struggles. Because there's no profit. And the more he kicks, the more he's going to feel the prick of the word of God. That is true with the animal and the ox goad. If it kicks against the prick, it's going to feel it all the more. By kicking out and lashing out at the ox goad, it's certainly going to feel the prod of the ox goad all the more. And as time goes by, it seems that that's exactly what is happening with Saul. He's feeling this more and more. And there is a worthlessness to this, a senselessness to it. He's only going to make the wounds go deeper. Saul is only but helping the spread of the gospel here. His persecution is leading to others having to leave Jerusalem and to go out into other areas. And all that Saul is doing is helping the cause that he wants to harm. The Lord does that. The Lord restrains the wrath of men, and the rest of that wrath he uses for his glory. And if only Saul knew it, it's a worthless thing to wrestle and strive against God. And if that's what you're doing today, then I trust the Lord might bring that home to you. It's a worthless, senseless thing to do, to strive against God. There's no profit in that. Not for you. No profit at all. That brings me to the last thing I want you to notice here with regards to Saul and kicking against the pricks, and that's the surrender of Saul. The surrender of Saul, because he was brought to an end of himself on the Damascus Road. His conversion is so well known that phraseology is even passed into the English language. We talk about somebody having a Damascus conversion. And we're thinking about Saul of Tarsus. We're thinking about what happened to him on the road. How sudden it was. How dramatic it was. It was a complete turning around and going in the opposite direction. And as I say, that terminology is even passed into our language with regards to other things. When somebody suddenly changes course and goes in the opposite direction. But let's think about it in relation to Saul. Let's think about it in relation to an individual before God. Coming to an end of themselves. Surrendering to the Lord. And I use that term because of what Saul said. Because in verse 5, this is what he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" There's his surrender. "Who art thou, Lord?" He's giving in, he's giving up, he's surrendering. surrendering to the Lord. He's acknowledging that there's another who is his master. And he's going to yield obedience to him. Now he asks, who is this? Who art thou? And he's told, I am Jesus. And as I mentioned a moment or two ago, what a surprise for Saul that must have been. But maybe it wasn't so much a surprise. Because the Lord has been speaking to him, and the claims of Jesus Christ have been pressed upon his soul for some time. But it brings him to the place of surrender. It brings him to the place where he wants to know what the Lord would have for him to do. Verse 6, we read that. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So there is a surrender here to the will of God. What wilt thou have me to do? And you and I need to come to that place of surrender to the will of God. It might be the will of God in conversion. You're unsaved. You've never come to Christ. And it's the will of God that you get right with God. It's the command of God that you get right with God. But maybe you are a child of God. But maybe there's disobedience in some way in your life. And today you need to surrender to the will of God. You need to surrender. Stop kicking against the pricks and surrender to the Lord. That's where blessing is to be found. That's where we will know the favor of God. That's where we'll find joy and happiness too. It's when we surrender to the will of God. When we have that spirit that Saul here has. What a difference. Again, what a contrast from the opening statement of this portion. When he's breathing out threatenings and slaughter. And now he's seeking the will of God. He's a changed man. I trust that you'll not kick against the pricks anymore, but that you'll surrender. Surrender to the will of God. Let's bow together in prayer as we come to a close. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the power of the Word of God. And it is our prayer that Thou would speak through Thy Word this day. And use it, O Lord, in the hearts and lives of individuals. And may there be that full surrender. No longer kicking against the pricks. Bring souls to Christ. Lead us on in obedience, those who profess to know the Savior. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.